Welcome into the ABV podcast. That's anything but vanilla, or depending on how you're feeling tonight, alcohol by volume. I am Fran. I think I'm tough as nails, but really, I'm just a hooker with a heart of gold.
And I'm Claire. I'm the nosiest bitch you'll ever meet, and nothing's off limits when I'm asking the questions.
And I'm Erica. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I know somebody who does.
And friends and family, if you think we're talking about you, we're definitely talking about you.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's right.
That's right. Guys, welcome in. First podcast.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Yeah! We made it. We done doing it.
45 seconds in. Solid.
Cheers. I mean, honestly, this could just be it. Yes.
Cheers!
Look, Mama, we made it.
I know. It's really exciting, actually. Well, we're leading in our episodes with our cocktail. So every episode, you're going to get to know what we're drinking, and you can make this fabulous drink at home if you would like to just entertain yourself. Or maybe you're having guests over this week, and you're like, I don't know what to make, and then you're going to make the cocktail that we've had this whole night. Mm-hmm. So
we won't steer you wrong.
We won't. We would tell you, if it was, like, real gross, I would just lay it out on the line and be like, I fucked up. Or I done if, fucked up.
I For mean, sure.
If you're just lazy, you can just order it at a bar, too.
No, I'm saying, like, if you're having guests over, like, if you're hosting.
Oh, yeah. And you want to make a cool cocktail and be like, oh, I heard it on the ABV podcast.
Or you could just, like, crack a cold Bud Light Lime yes. and go with that. So tonight, we're drinking an espresso martini, which is... I think it sounds more intimidating than it actually is.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, I definitely thought there was going to be more ingredients to this drink. And if you are a true hood rat like I am, you don't have a martini shaker, so you use a mason jar. Maybe that doesn't make me a hood
no,
rat.
No, that makes you a hipster.
Makes me a hipster. Mm-hmm. It's true. Yeah, so all that this cocktail requires is some vodka of your choice. I like Tito's. I use Tito's. But if you're fancier, you can use something fancier. You need... So I used a shot. Per drink, one shot of vodka. And then they called for 2 ounces of espresso. I just kind of did like a shot and a half of espresso per drink.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Actually, Erica says 2. And then...
so that's kind of...
Erica was tired today. And then the third ingredient, it could be either or. You can use an espresso liqueur or a lot of recipes called for just Bailey's.
Do any of them specifically request for Sky vodka?
None of them did. Are you fucking... That's just the sound of that makes me feel ill. So what do you guys think?
I love it.
Good. So good.
Delish.
But also, like, you're right. It sounds intimidating. I would never think to make this myself. And that's why I said, oh, you can order it at a bar. But...
I feel like this would actually be, like, a very good brunch drink.
Yeah.
Because you combine, like, your coffee and alcohol.
This is true.
Right?
Yeah, we should do
Do people drink this at brunch?
No.
I don't know. I've only had it at, like, lunch.
I think it's...
At like, lunch?
I've only had it right by yourself. Like, not even at a restaurant.
No. When we had a friend had a bachelorette party, and we ordered them after lunch.
Oh,
and
my
then
God. That's right.
Yeah. They were hella good, too.
Yeah.
And I've had them in the evenings, like, for, like, a pick-me-up, you know?
Yeah. No, I like it.
I do, too. I'm
into
shockingly,
it.
Like, impressed that I could actually make a delicious espresso martini, but I did.
Yeah, the one we had in Cabo had the marshmallow garnish.
Ooh.
I mean, I ain't that fucking
Was it
fancy.
Toasted marshmallow?
Yes, but
Fran, you need
to...
You need to step up your game!
No. But... You could
Did you
really,
not hear that
I
was a hood rat?
Wrong.
Absolutely not.
You could go wrong with toasting it. It might get so burnt.
Oh, I love a burnt,
burnt
marshmallow.
Flakes go into your cocktail.
No.
Mine was the redheaded stepchild that had all
They didn't like you.
The accumulation.
They did
of
not.
The burnt, yeah.
They did not care
so,
for you.
Just be careful.
Okay. Well, this is very yummy. So this is our first podcast. And I guess maybe we should first talk about why we wanted to start this podcast. I mean, obviously, we think we're funny, right?
Just that elicited laughs.
I mean, we think we're funny enough to record a podcast.
I think we have strong and clear ideas, thoughts, opinions.
Yeah.
And I think we have some humor.
We're very opinionated, for sure.
Yeah.
We have I think we have enough haters out there who are going to be curious enough to listen to this. Just, so we'll have, like... some hate followers listening to our podcast.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way
majority.
Of the world?
Yeah.
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 But I think we just wanted something that ultimately we also would want to listen to.
Yeah, and something that like a theme that keeps coming up for us is like kind of what it's like to be a woman today.
Yeah.
And like we're all different roles in this room. Like we're moms and daughters and sisters and bosses and
ratchet ass hoes.
That's the one common thread.
Ratchet ass hoes.
Duh. So I guess it's just sharing our different perspectives.
Yeah, okay. And our moms said that we would be good at this. So.
Our moms tell us we're good at everything. That's what our three moms kind of have in common, I think.
I don't know. My mom doesn't tell me I'll be good at everything. She's just supportive of me no matter what I do. It's not necessarily that she, like, tells me I'd be good at it. She's just like, you know, follow your dreams.
That's true.
Please don't crash
land.
And
the other thing I'll say is, like, y'alls know I'm a tough crowd. And
yeah, that's
we
true.
We never have a bad time when the three of us are together.
That,
I don't
and
think.
Especially when alcohol. Well, there was that one Coachella.
I don't know.
I said, especially when alcohol's involved, but we've had a couple.
But I feel like we all challenge each other in, you know, like, different ways, and I think that,
we get into arguments about white privilege.
Oh my god.
We get into arguments about friends. We get into arguments about a lot of, not arguments,
about
that's strong.
Burritos.
That's strong. Argument's not the right word.
Discussions. Lively discussions.
I would say brawl.
Not true.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're always friends.
Yeah, I mean, because there's, again, that common thread.
That's true.
Well, I think when we've known each other for a very long time, all of us have been friends for a very, very long time, and by very long time, I'm not talking about, like, you know, 5 years that you've known fucking Becky.
Right.
No. I'm talking, like, 20 plus years. So, I mean, I think when you've been friends with someone that long, they're not friends anymore. They're family. It's different.
Yeah, and you have, like, a safety with them where you can really say anything and know that you're still going to be friends at the end of it.
Like, no one's going to be so hurt that they're not going to talk to you anymore.
Well, I don't think any of us are really sensitive people either.
I think that is
not
also
for
true.
That long, no. But we also have all gone through, like, really different phases, and I think with that comes life experience and...
True.
That's a good point. Perspective.
True.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I think between the three of us, we have, like, a lot of interesting experiences. And
yeah.
At least I'd like to think that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, time will tell.
Okay, well, that's, like, the perfect transition. Because we wanted to kind of start this episode by talking about the three of us a little bit more in depth. Just so... For those of you who, like, don't know us from high school, because that's, isn't that funny? I picture people from high school listening to this.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know why.
Unfortunately.
And then, like, France Fitness fans are going to be listening to this.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Shout out to the France fans.
FranFit, hashtag.
And then our moms.
Make sure you and hashtag our moms. It when you listen to it, FranFit.
You got to share that in your bio.
This is what I'm talking about.
Put it
like,
in your
hence.
Own bio, even if you're
I would not be friends with them if they were not my decades old friends. I would just kick them to the curb after this. They give me the most heartache.
So,
hence why I'm tough as nails, guys. Like
so
my intro says.
To our three listeners plus our moms.
And Sachi.
And Sachi. We will now share a little bit about ourselves. I'll start.
Do it.
My name is Claire. I grew up on the mean streets of East Sacramento.
I've been sober. I literally thought that's what you were about to say.
I've been sober for 1 month before. No! Actually, I've been sober twice for 10 months each while I was pregnant.
I was not.
So, yeah, you were not. Fran drank a lot during her pregnancy. Oh, that's why our kid's very special. No, he's actually very bright. Thank God, because if he wasn't, I would worry about the alcohol consumption. Okay, so I grew up in East Sacramento with my mom and my twin sister, who is basically the opposite of me.
That's why Claire's so weird. She's a twin.
Yeah. I love being a twin, though. Like, it was... I mean, obviously, it was the only thing I knew, but we had so much fun, like, fucking with people, and, like, we would memorize... I'm going to give away my secrets right now. We would memorize, like... 10-digit numbers, and then people, like, dumbass people would go, oh my god, can you guys read each other's mind? And I'd be like, Keely, think of a number. And she'd, like, write it down, then I would, like, say the number that we had always agreed on, and people's minds would be blown. Like, they were very easily fooled. So I grew up with just Keely, and what? Then I went away to college. I went to UCLA and I lived in LA for almost 12 years. Yeah, 12 years. And I loved LA. And at one point when I came back to visit Fran in Sacramento on the 4th of July, I met a dude at a bar and I was hella drunk.
I can attest to that. I didn't
even remember his name the next day.
I can also attest to that.
Then we fell in love and he moved to LA for me and we got married. That's like the short version of
whirlwind.
It was a whirlwind. And I never thought that I would meet somebody that I would want to marry. So I was pretty blown away. And now we have two little kids. I have how old is he? A 9-month-old and an almost 3-year-old. And I run an interior design business. And I've been doing that now for like 4 years. And I have lots of fun doing that. And I think that pretty much sums up my life. I think I did that in like 60 seconds.
And your business is growing.
You're not underselling yourself short.
My business is doing really well. It's like very fun.
And it's all like referral based. Like you don't even have to do any marketing right now.
No,
right?
I probably should do some marketing, but.
Yeah. But that's powerful because that means you do a wonderful job.
I love my clients and I have so much fun.
And you get to be your own boss.
Yeah, I get to set my own hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what else do you do for fun besides work and take care of the babies?
Oh my God. I'm pretty boring now, unfortunately, but I really like going out to eat with my friends and like trying new restaurants in Sacramento. Like I feel like just a couple ladies you might know. And I feel like the Sacramento I grew up in, like, didn't have that many amazing restaurants. It had like fine restaurants, but the Sacramento now that we're in now has like amazing restaurants. And it's so fun to like try them all out, like all the hidden gems and then all the more popular places. It's just really fun to explore now.
Yeah, super fun.
What about you grew up with a single mom?
I did. Oh yeah, that's a big
deal, especially in light of what we're trying to do with this podcast.
Right. I grew up with like the most amazing mom who was
shout out to Diane Fishburne.
Diane Fishburne. She was like partner at a law firm, raising two twin terrors. Like we definitely gave her, like now that I'm a mom, like looking back, like I see how much fucking trouble
you guys
were. Like, I don't know how she handled it and kept her cool.
Do you think that's why, cause you said earlier that you didn't see yourself necessarily getting married?
No. I have always been like, I'm a very picky person and people like annoy me pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And so I just didn't think that I was going to meet someone that I would want to spend that much time with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like something that you were so tied to. Like,
no.
Take it or leave it.
I never would have just like married like a mediocre person just to be married. Yeah. So I really like did. I literally never thought that I was going to get married. It didn't even.
Like with Matt, did you know right away?
Right away.
Really?
I knew like within like a week.
And you've never felt that way before?
Never.
That's so crazy.
Everyone else I like fell for really quickly.
Right.
We were hot messes together. Like there were so many red flags. So with Matt, it was so easy and good and like unlike anything I'd ever had before. So.
Yeah. And so as an outsider, I remember when Matt came around because I lived in San Diego during the time that you were in LA and I never really met any dude that you were dating prior to Matt. So when he came in, I feel like we all kind of got that vibe that he was very serious because he just showed up to everything.
For sure. You know?
And then like ordered pizza for us one night when he was in a different city. That's how I was, all right, we're locked in love.
You were like, I'm in love with him.
Yes. Guess what? That story dates us. Because Postmates now exists.
That's true.
He got on a landline.
And called a San Diego pizza place.
And had it delivered to our hotel.
That was huge.
At like 2 a.m.
Dude. What a gesture.
Yeah.
Just a gem, that Matt Jones.
Time. Like, it does. I would still enjoy that.
That man is a damn gem.
That's quite an extra step.
You know what I would like you to talk about a little bit, Claire, is your perspective on Los Angeles, being there for 12 years, like in your formative coming to adult years versus going back being a mom.
Okay, it's so interesting you say that. Because the whole time I was in LA, I didn't fall into the whole, like, I want to be an actress trap or anything like that. But I was very fascinated by, like, the wealth and the celebrity. Yeah. And, like, it's everywhere in LA. Especially, I was in West LA. So, it was just, like...
It's hard not to be. It's hard to
ignore. You'd go to CVS and Dennis Quaid is standing next to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'd go to a restaurant and there's five celebrities there.
Celebrity.
I know, really. Well, I used to see Dennis Quaid all the time in Brooklyn.
I love that.
Claire was also mistaken at a dry cleaners for Lawrence Fishburne.
No.
I'm mistaken.
I'm asked all the time if I'm related to Lawrence Fishburne. All the time.
Like in Sacramento?
Yes. Well, I guess it... Well, my last name's not Fishburne anymore. But
oh, yeah, that's true. It's Fish Lawn now. Fish
Lawn. It's funny. So when I was in LA, so I would like... I had like very, very blonde hair. And I had like fake nails and I was a tanorexic. Like I was a very, I was a very unnatural color of
brown,
orange. What's a cross between orange and brown?
Burnt sienna.
Yeah. Burnt sienna is like the perfect color reference actually.
To be fair, you blended in with
everyone,
including me and Fran. Cause we were also,
I never could get that color. I tried. Yeah, I could never like compare to you. I had like hoop dreams.
Yeah.
Never coming to fruition.
The tan off.
And then, and my mom would always say to me like, I don't like you being in LA. Like you're not like,
your mom is from,
She was born and raised in Los Angeles. But she said, I just don't like you here. Like, and I would blow her off. I literally would blow her off. And you don't realize until you're out of it. Like, and I'm not saying that because the people in LA who are listening to this, I'm not saying this encompasses all of Los Angeles, but it's very easy when you're there to kind of get, I don't know. A lot of it's so fake and artificial. So,
for Christ's sakes, remember how fake Matt got when he was there for a couple years.
Matt got tanorexic. Yes.
It's about how you look.
Yeah, it's a lot about how you look. And the thing is, because everyone in LA is really, most people are really attractive. And so you kind of feel like you need to do that also all the time.
Sure.
Yeah, and a lot of people are part of the industry, like, that surrounds Hollywood, and so I feel like even if they're not the most attractive person, they're still part of that system.
Yeah, and everyone's driving a luxury car, and everyone is, you know, going out to all these fancy dinners and stuff like that. So, and look, there's nothing wrong with all of these things. Like, you can enjoy these kind of things, but it's definitely different now that I've come to Sacramento. And, like, obviously, I'm leading a different life in Sacramento.
Sure.
I have a house, I have a husband, I have two kids. Like, I'm very grounded here. Whereas when I lived in LA, I was a mess and like just enjoying Los Angeles and doing whatever the fuck I wanted.
Well, no, you weren't. Okay. You weren't a mess. You were just not secure.
I was a little bit of a mess.
I mean,
I was a fun mess.
Not
but
compared to your peers though. You were like, you know, in the same category. Yeah, that's true. Else.
Yeah, point, to use Erica. A toddler word, it was developmentally appropriate.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I feel like you got out at the right time.
Yeah, well, totally.
No, I also think, and we've talked about this before, I had so much fun in my, in my high school, college, and post-college years. I literally had so much fun that now when life is a little bit slower and you get enjoyment out of different things, that it's like, I have all those funny ass memories to look back on and know that like, I sowed my wild oats and like, I've done all those things and those things are fun, but like they wouldn't necessarily fulfill me now.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I have those things under my belt. Cause I feel like if I didn't, like, you know, people who like got married really young or just never lived a fun life when they were younger. And now they're doing it at our age. And you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're 35. You're a hot mess, like, making really bad decisions. It's just not a good look when you're older, I feel like. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. I agree.
There's more at stake, too.
But I want to know about this other perspective, and then we'll wrap up and we'll move to Erica. Of now going back to LA as an adult.
Oh, yeah. It's, oh, my God.
As an adult. As a parent.
As a parent. Yeah, I could never have kids in LA.
A non-resident, like... Let's see.
Yeah, it takes forever to get anywhere, and so your kids are in the car for way too long, and everything is just, like, too much waiting, and it's just not as enjoyable. I mean, I love the food, I love going, I love the shopping, I love, like, the beach, and...
It's just not fun to take your kids.
Right.
I mean, like most things, it's not fun to drink with kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that just blanket statement.
Yeah, agreed. Blanket statement.
There's certain things that are fun to take your kids to that are kid related.
Also, our kids' ages right now.
Yeah,
are tough. Like, I could see, like, when my kids are like 5 and 7, going to LA will be really fun. Like,
yeah.
5 might still be pushing it, but yeah.
Yeah. But they'll like go have fun going to the beach, going to Disneyland. Yeah. I can leave them with relatives really easily, you know?
Yeah, so it's convenient.
All right.
Yeah. So,
good bio.
Thanks for the interview.
You're welcome.
Great job.
Hard hitting questions.
You know
it.
Now
it's your turn, Erica.
Okay, so yeah, I'm Erica. I grew up in Sacramento with these bitches, and then kind of same, my parents were from LA, and so I just always, for whatever reason, we would travel to Southern California frequently when I was growing up for holidays and stuff, and I just always knew that I was going to move to Southern California for whatever reason. So I lived down there after... I don't want to say after college, because I extended my college experience for about 10 years, so it took the long road.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. Yeah, but so I worked down there full time, and went to school, and I loved it. Like, I mean, I think you and Claire, we both loved it, but it's weird, because now when I come back, like, I really do miss it. I bought a house down there, I really had no
plans. Yeah, you have kind of a different... situation too, with being in San Diego, obviously.
Yeah, so I really felt like the first couple years were tough, because that's just a transition when you're living in a city that you don't know a lot of people, but I just really loved the change of pace down there. San Diego is different. It's a different beast. Like,
but there's still a lot of douchey people in San Diego.
Yeah, but like you can like choose your own adventure, I think, like depending on your friends and stuff like
that.
Because there's like a real like ethereal scene, and there's just lots of different...
What's that?
Like hippie.
Like hippie, yeah.
Ethereal?
Oh.
Yeah.
On my way
I was like, is that a San Diego word I don't know?
On my way to Sepulveda. So...
Part of Erica's bio needs to be exactly...
is my wrong pronunciation every 20th word. Hopefully that's endearing for our listeners. If not, sorry.
I think it will be. So they can just be like, Sepulveda. Yeah.
So ethereal.
Yeah. No, ethereal's right.
Yeah. I don't fucking know.
You said...
I read ethereal. It and I create this pronunciation. That's
you're
just
fine.
My own.
Hooked on Phonics anyway. Did not work for you.
No, I didn't do it. That was a problem.
Your mom bought you Hooked on Phonics.
Not in the gate program like these fuckers.
I wasn't in a gate program.
I figured you guys would be.
My fucking ADD ass. No one would take me in any gate program.
So I love San Diego, and I guess, you know, when I moved back to Sacramento, I've dated people, you know, but nothing's ever really stuck. So I'm typically the single friend, I guess. Like, I'll date someone here and there, a lot of long distance relationships, nothing that really seals the deal. So I have a different perspective. Now when I go back to San Diego, I miss it a lot, and I'm kind of torn sometimes, cause I still have a house down there, like where I want to be, even though my career is like super solid, and I feel like that's something that has always been very consistent for me. But I'm 35, and it's like weird. I'm in this weird place where I could technically get up and leave at any point and start a new life. I have no one that I'm answering to, but then I'm 35. Like, I still want to set roots and, like, you know, have some type of...
I don't know. I feel like you do have people that you're accountable to here, your friends and your family. Yeah.
Well, meaning, I say technically.
She doesn't have the chains like
got you.
Yeah, but like I would...
Chains.
You guys are my chains, though.
But, yeah.
I mean, I do. That is a big, like, when I'm thinking about, could I possibly move back down to San Diego again or a different city and just like start anew? Because if there would be a time, it would be like right now. Because who knows, like 5 years from now. But you guys are a big part of that decision making, and my family is here. And so anyways, that's kind of like,
we're your old ball and chain.
That's true.
I have a question, not to interrupt this.
No,
everyone always bitches about long distance relationships, but Erica's been in a lot of them. What do you like about them?
I fucking love them. I, because again, I said my career is solid. I wouldn't say that. I just feel like I'm a very career-oriented person.
Your career is solid. Yes, it is.
And for me, the like during the week is the time where I'm not really available. And I think you have to be available in a stable relationship when you're local. And the nice thing about long-distance relationships is like, you can get your shit done. You don't have to answer anyone. Yeah, you can text here and there, but it's pretty convenient. And then on the weekends, you get to really spend quality time with that person. The problem with it is that typically you're kind of living in this fantasy world. You're like going on these mini vacations every weekend or here and there.
Yeah.
And you're not
it's not the day-to-day drudge.
No, you're not necessarily growing. But I don't necessarily need to get married. I don't necessarily... I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have kids. So, like, how much do we need to grow as a couple? As long as we're enjoying our time together, that is... For me, that's my priority now. Maybe, like, 5-10 years ago when I was dating in San Diego, that was, like, kind of on the table. Like, you know, maybe marriage and kids. But now I'm just like, no, it's not in my plan. And I've accepted it and I'm fine. So... Yeah, that, to me, I've always kind of been drawn to...
Getting to live your own life and then having, like, time for this other person when it's convenient for you.
Before Matt, I would say the same thing, too. I'd be like, oh, a long-distance relationship would be perfect. And then I met Matt, and we were long-distance for 9 months, and it was terrible. Fun when we saw each other, but it was terrible because we wanted to do, like... We wanted to see him every night, you know? Right,
so yeah. I guess I like to date people who don't want to see me that much.
Gotcha.
So that's why it works.
My prediction for Erica is she's gonna like meet someone like amazing who treats her like she deserves when she's like 39. She's gonna pop out a baby when she's 40. That's my prediction.
You've never said that. You've just busted that out right now. Wow.
It's been in my heart for a while.
Do me a solid, Fran.
Hey.
What about adopt?
That's fine.
You can adopt also.
Okay. What do you think, Fran?
I am not going to pretend like I know anyone's future. I do not have the certainty in my heart like Claire apparently does. I think that you should expect the unexpected. That's usually how life goes.
You guys, I'm pretty consistent when it comes to that. I'm just going to warn you, but whatever.
Hey, stranger things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Is all I'm saying. So there's
okay, and so how much do you want to talk about your career on the podcast?
I'll be vague as possible.
So that's a not.
Erica, people can just Google you.
Right. Well, okay, so...
You're not like in the CIA.
No.
Are you? Are you like a covert agent in the CIA?
No, well, I'll say this. I'm in communications, and what I guess I would like to speak on is just like how my career has completely changed just because I decided to like be involved in community-based things. And I got my degree in family and consumer science, which had nothing to do with what I do now. And
I feel like it kind of does.
It kind of does, but like the skills of communications, public relations, like I didn't learn.
No,
I learned all that on my own.
Yeah. No, but I feel like for almost like I'd say like 90% of the jobs, the stuff you learn in college is not what you use in your job.
Yeah, when I was a paralegal during the time that I was going to college, everyone around me was on that plan where they know exactly from the beginning. So now I'm around other people who kind of fell into their careers, but I always felt like the outsider, even around you guys. Like it took me a long time to get through college because I was working full time and I've had different kind of jobs, you know, like,
yeah, you've tried your hand in some things,
but so I have a full-time job, but,
she's also Sacramento celebrity. Don't let her fool you.
I have like a small consulting business where I help small businesses with branding and public relations and marketing. And that's like something that I'm super passionate about. And so anything that I'm doing full-time is reflective of that passion. But my end goal would be to probably just run my own business or something like
that. Oh, I think you're going to say run for president.
Oh God, Jesus. Well, nope.
And Erica also started her own business, too. She is FitCrawl, @FitCrawl on Instagram. I'm going to let her tell you about it, but she didn't even bring this up.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that?
For a few years. I think 2016.
That sounds about right.
So me and Fran are connected also because we love fitness, all things fitness.
It's true.
And so I, when I first moved back to Sacramento, I got connected with our community because of fitness. I didn't really, even though I'm from here, all the friends that I had when I had moved are different people now. And so we're not as close except for Fran and stuff. So I kind of had to start from scratch. It was almost like I moved to a new city, even though I was moving back to my hometown. And so, fitness just kind of enabled me to get connected again. And, before I would only like do workouts by myself when I live in San Diego, I would run a lot.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really connected that way. And so I started a blog and, started running it through publications, and then, people wanted to know about the gyms that I would go to. And they were like, I want to go with you when you go to these different, fitness studios. And so that I started this event, and it's a popular series in Sacramento called Fit Crawl. So we just go around town and try different fitness studios, and it's kind of become its own beast.
Yeah.
And so,
but it's like an event, right? You'd go to three in a row.
It depends. You've done different things.
Yeah.
Right?
It's kind of evolving into now like an outdoor event, and I'm working with the city on having it, you know, be even bigger, and that will take a few years to probably really, I want Sacramento to be a destination city for fitness, you know, like we're kind of at that point where we have a lot of cool development going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of just at that cusp of, making it a cool place to be, not just because, we have a sports team here, like people can come and bike and go, you know,
it's so beautiful here.
There's so many different things to do.
But there, if you look at like LA and San Diego and these larger cities, their cities like run really cool fitness events, and we're not there yet. And so I'm really trying to make that happen through Fit Crawl.
You're doing it, girl.
You are doing it. Not trying to, for sure. But that needed to be discussed.
Yes. What about you, Franny?
What about me? Unlike these two hoes, born and bred in Sacramento, stayed. Because I'm a loyal ass bitch.
Because you're...
Oh my god, do you remember when you got in that big fight with that girl who was so rude to you about never leaving Sacramento?
Yes, I do.
Who?
No, we can't name names on here.
I don't even know.
We'll do a sidebar.
We didn't get into a fight. She was just of the mind that you had to, like, live in all these places to be, like, this complete human being. And listen, I just rep Sacramento hard, you know? My roots run deep, and I don't want to live anywhere else. My family's here. I come from an Italian family, and we're very close. And my family owns, opened and ran and continues to own and operate a gourmet grocery store here in Sacramento. I have two older sisters who I am very, very close with. I am very close to my mom and my dad, and leaving them would just be, I wouldn't want to live my life any other way. So born and raised here, stayed here, love it here. Went to high school with Erica, but Claire and I went to elementary school actually together. I've known each other that long. And I, same path, went to college, immediately went into grad school. I was a school psychologist for 10 years. I still am a school psychologist.
That's
on a little break.
Crazy you did that for 10 years. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
That we're old enough to have had careers that were that long.
2007 was my first year as a working school psychologist. And I took time off in 2017.
Wow.
I know. Nuts. Isn't that crazy? So my career path, I mean, like Erica was saying, I think that my career path was, I decided what I wanted to do, and I kind of just went with that. And I like it. I love that job. It's a fabulous job. I will come back to it. I have a child who is almost 2 years old, and I took time off after I had him, and I did not put him into daycare. I didn't want to until he was two. So he's just going to be going to daycare coming up here. And so that means I can kind of get back to, like, working. But right now I'm just teaching fitness classes here in Sacramento, and I know it doesn't sound like a real job, but
girl, I made it's a real job.
Not just teaching though. Again, not like we made a joke, but she is like the hardest and most beloved fitness instructor in Sacramento.
And she has like a cult following of Fran's fans.
That's what you call people.
And that's a real job.
Listen,
I'm sorry. You get paid to do
to
it.
To everyone out there
job.
Listening, I would never, ever say that about anyone who takes my classes. Claire is a hater right now, and so this is what she's saying. Claire should be the hater of the week this week, but she's not.
No, I just have to make fun of Fran for it. Because, they like, whenever we go out in public, all of Fran's fans get really excited to see her in the wild.
Isn't it funny how they all just, like, foam at the mouth?
No, like, they, like,
it's not like
fawn over her. And she doesn't see it. But it's not like, we just ran into someone you know. It's like, oh my God, we got to see Fran.
It's like they all have crushes on her a little bit,
they definitely,
like,
no.
It's not just adoration. It's like, how do I...
No, they want to skin her and wear her on a bike at Team Ride, like, is what they want to do. Yeah.
For everyone listening, these people are assholes, so there's that. They just like to give me a hard time. But yeah, so I just do that part-time, and I kind of, like, get by doing that so I can spend time with my kid.
What's your romantic situation, since you're being so vague about it?
I've been with the same person for a long time. CIA? No, what's it when you're, like, when you're in the mob? What's it called? And you're, like, reassigned an identity. Witness protection. Yeah.
I don't think anybody in witness protection is going to be doing a podcast.
You never fucking know.
That's true.
I've been with the same person for, God, over a decade now. I met him in high school. Yeah, over a decade. Over 10 years. Like, 15 years? It has not been 15 years. No.
I checked the math. Feel like that for me.
seems like we've been putting up with him for that long, I think.
Since Hopkins, dude, 2007.
Since I was 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's 13 years, Erica. I am now 35. That would be 13 years. Over a decade, stands.
Yeah.
Yeah, we met in high school, and I...
you met in high school. Fran was...
No, we did. We met
I know, in high but school. Fran was obsessed with him.
I was going to start off by saying we met in high school. You didn't let me even finish. I can't even finish my own bio.
Okay. Keep it real.
All I said was we met in high school.
Well, I just think that's really...
It's true.
Understatement.
We met in high school. I went to an all-girls high school here in Sacramento. We took, me and my friends, we took a lifeguarding course my junior year in high school, and he also was taking a lifeguarding course. He was at the local public high school, and I was obsessed with him. It is very true.
Like the level of obsession could only be explained, like, with, like, a Lifetime movie. Like, it was very high.
It was very high. And then we like, always try to find him on the internet throughout college. Like, he was, like, the one that got away, you know? And then we reconnected via MySpace. And you know, as they say, MySpace just brings two souls together and they become one.
Yeah. Is that what they say?
And that's what they say. I'm pretty sure they say that. And
I'm
then,
pretty sure we've all got
bada bing, bada boom, 13 years later, there's a 2-year-old. I owe it all to MySpace.
I met hella people on MySpace. Isn't that creepy?
Wait, you mean like strangers?
Not like, they were strangers, but like... Semi-famous, that's too generous of a word,
oh,
too.
Oh, no, yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Like,
oh, that's true.
Kind of well-known people on MySpace, yeah.
That were like,
would you call them, like, real-life C-list?
Not C-list. G-list, maybe?
Yes. No, not G. Same. They were, like, internet famous.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it. Internet famous. Yeah.
Like, Instagram famous before Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tila Tequila.
Oh, my God, I love
yes. Tila. Yeah, so I have a partner. We are not married. I have a son.
And why aren't you guys married? Do you want to share with our listeners?
I mean, that is a conversation. That is a story.
As I'm getting like daggers. I shouldn't have asked that.
There's no daggers. I just don't know a good way to summarize that. I wanted to get married for a really long time. He did not want to get married. We broke up because of that. And then, like, he came around to wanting to get married, and we, like, kind of started planning it, because he proposed to me eventually. And I just decided that it wasn't very important after all. Like, it just had become unimportant to me, in a way. That we did just fine the way things were. Like, we worked, what we were doing was working. And now that we have a kid, I just feel like... We are in a partnership.
And you own a house together, too.
Yeah. And we both just choose to be together, and that's enough. And that's okay. Yeah. And maybe eventually we'll get married one day, but I just don't really feel... I don't want a wedding. None of that stuff really appeals to me.
Oh, God, weddings suck. No, people ask me all the time about, like maybe, like, my aunt will be like, and what about Fran? Are they married yet? And I'll be like, no, they're not getting married yet, but...
Oh, yeah, Mooney's all about
Yeah, Mooney always asks me, but I always say to her, if one day Fran called me and told me that her and Brian had gone to the courthouse and gotten married that weekend, like, that would not surprise me.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah. It just, some things work for some people, some things work for other people, and maybe after wanting something for so long, it just...
Yeah.
And not getting it, I realized that that's not what this was all about anyways. I don't know.
Right.
Like, yeah. I was making the choice to be there, and so was he. I don't know. Who knows? So there's that. That's
it's
my
complicated.
Life in a nutshell.
Well, and you guys came back to each other after breaking up, so that speaks to...
That's true.
Something.
I agree.
You don't need that other shit, necessarily.
And then we adopted a sweet little muffin named Sachimo, and she's sitting right by us right now.
Sachi, say hi.
And she's too old to say hi. Just an old lady. All right. I think that's good in our bios. You think people know us now?
Wait, did you say your child? You mentioned that?
Yeah, 2-year-old.
Did you blink on that whole thing?
Yeah, she did. Do you want me to talk about him more? His name?
I guess because I didn't hear the name.
His name is Cashew Goat. Good. Did you say your kids' names?
My almost 3-year-old is named Reed. And my 9-month-old is Remy.
My kid is Cashew Boo.
And we probably will be talking about them a lot.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point.
I mean, if we're talking about, like, what we go through on the daily as women and just living life, being a mom is a big part of living this damn life these days.
Well, yeah. And we want to know what our listeners want to know, too. Not necessarily about our lives, but, like, what's going on? What are you curious about? Or what are you struggling with? Because between the three of us, we all have either been through it or have some...
No, that's true. We've got all bases covered here, I think.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you're a woman that is of a mature age.
Oh my God. We're not a mature age.
Yeah.
That sounds fucking creepy, but...
That sounds like someone who's over 65.
What do you want me to say it then?
Who can...
We're not middle-aged yet.
We're... 35 is middle-aged.
No, it's not. 40 to 55 is middle-aged. Look it up.
I thought 35 was.
No, but I got into an argument with someone about this recently.
Because
I refused to accept that I was middle-aged.
Oh my God.
I will look it up. Pause while I Google this.
Not yet. Okay, well, I'm going to start my Rose and Thorn.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. So Rose and Thorn, for those of you guys that do not have this as part of your vocabulary, my family would do this thing where we'd sit down and we'd talk about, like, what's been good in the week, what's been bad in the week. We called it Rose and Thorn. I know that it's been popularized by the Kardashians. It's
Peek and Pit. And when we have, like, group dinners, it's a really fun way, like, when you're out with your friends, to kind of catch up on what your friends have been doing, like, the high and low points. Don't you think? Like, I think it's always fun to do that.
It's such a good conversation starter, I feel like, and you get into, like, deeper issues than you normally would in, like, a superficial conversation.
And I host this one annual dinner at my house, and we always do it for the year at that dinner.
Nice.
And I think that's always, like, what? What are you looking?
I was looking at middle-aged, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I had to Google it.
I'm right.
18, well, I mean, because this is a ridiculous... 18 to 40 years. That's that's a range, right? It's considered young adulthood.
Yeah.
Young adulthood is for sure 18. 35 is not young adulthood.
Well,
I'm down with that description, though.
No, but if you think of where we are, most people live to be,
Erica,
what,
on the dating apps is going to be like, I'm a
young
adult.
No, but it's true. If you live to be 85 or 90, we're just entering the second third of our life. Like...
That sounds like middle-aged to me, but...
No.
Okay. Sorry.
Middle-aged... just say Claire was right. Claire's always right.
I will not say the second half of that. You were right.
Okay, well, Claire's right 99% of the time. Okay.
Ask Matt Jones about that.
So, my rose and thorn... I'm going to start with my thorn, because my rose is really good.
Yeah.
My thorn is... Last Thursday, my kid woke up at 3 a.m. and decided just not to go back to bed. And the thing is, on Thursday, I had, like, plans with 4 separate people. Or I had, like, plans with... I had coffee plans, and I had lunch plans.
I was supposed to come over.
I had afternoon plans with Fran, and then I had this design group I was supposed to go into the evening. So it was, like, actually a very busy day for me. I normally am way less busy than that. And I had to cancel everything except for the coffee plans because I was so tired. And that's fine because, like, none of those things were life or death. But when you have young kids who are, and I have pretty good sleepers too, it's just they throw you for a loop and you never know when that's going to happen.
It's totally true.
And it never happens when, like, oh, the next day I'm only supposed to, like, I can lay on the couch and watch TV and nap all day. It's like when I have all these things I need to get done. So
yeah.
That was my thorn, because overall I had a really good week, so that really was the only bad thing that happened.
But the capper.
But.
A capper.
The best thing happened. This is probably top 10 my life moments happened on Saturday night.
Don't judge Claire based on this being a top 10 moment.
Yes. Dun, dun, dun. So my mom lives up outside of Auburn, and she's very active in the Auburn community, and a group she volunteers with, AAUW, they raise money for scholarships for women going to college. And their annual fundraiser is a big trivia bee. It's been going on for years. I started participating in it maybe 5 years ago on a team. And it's teams of three. And when the first time I participated, we sucked. We were like bottom three teams out of like 20. And every year I would get slightly better. And I think I was just better at curating my team.
that sounds about right.
And last year I was like high end middle of the pack. Like we did really well. I really have never entertained the idea that I would actually win the trivia bee. Even though I really do like winning. It was just like one of those
things. And you're good at trivia.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, oh, I'm okay at trivia, but like, it just seemed like one of those things that was just so out of reach because the trivia teams are very good. And they're usually a lot older people, and they're like librarians and, you know.
City officials.
Yes, literally. So it just never really crossed my mind that I had a chance at winning. And so this year I curated my dream team.
For the appropriate genre. Yes,
and the theme was grub and grog, so food and drink. And so I recruited my mom and Fran to be on my team. I made them both do it. My mom has never been on a team before, even though she's like one of the most knowledgeable people I know.
Your mom is such a solid teammate.
She's just like not competitive. And so that kind of stuff just doesn't get her off like it does me, you know? Mm. So I made her do it. And Fran, you know, agreed to it readily. Fran insisted we study the day before. And I kept telling her, Fran, we don't need to study. The questions are so random. There's no way you can study. But Fran, being stubborn as fuck, was like, no, I'm studying.
And feeling the need to be right at all times.
So she was like reading me all these questions and answers, and we were going over them on the phone. And then we go to the trivia bee. Erica comes as our cheerleader. We needed a moral cheerleader.
Woo-woo. We also had Claire's husband on an opposing team.
Yes, which I knew he was not going to be competition. So the event starts and we're doing really well. We're like, at the end of the first half, we were like the second team, right? Just the girls next to us were higher. Was there anyone higher than us?
No, there might've been a couple people more. Yeah.
So we're doing really well. And you had to wager on the 15th and 30th question. You had to wager points out of how many points you had, which was a new twist we'd never got to do. And we all wagered half our points, and everybody got the question wrong. So going into round two,
it was a ridiculous question.
It was a question about Auburn history that literally not one team knew. So I thought it was kind of
unfair. No one got it, even the city officials.
But it kind of got us thinking about, oh God, what are we going to do for that 30th question? Like, so we're going through the second round. We're doing great. I have to say, Fran was, in terms of answering questions, Fran was the MVP on our team. My mom did good. I did fine.
No, I steered us wrong a couple times.
It's okay. Fran was very valuable to our team in terms of answering questions.
Because some of my study questions.
Yes, some of her study questions were on it.
That's right.
Like, how many hot dogs set the world record last year in the hot dog eating contest? 73.
What flora are apples related to? Do you know what apples are related to? What flora? Roses, motherfucker.
Yes. What?
Exactly.
Erica was there and doesn't even remember that question.
I got three right out of.
So we get to the last question. We have 14 points. The next highest team has 17 points. They're in the lead.
And Matt was ahead of us.
No.
Yeah, he was. He was ahead of
us. Oh, they had 15 points. You're right. So we had 14. Matt's team had 15. The highest team had 17. And then there were other teams in there.
Yeah.
My mom and Fran did not want to wage all of our points. We had 14 points.
I wanted to wager 10.
Okay. I, being the team captain, decided we needed to wager all of it. And my mom kept saying, well, Claire, if you just want to beat Matt, just beat, you know, just bet enough to beat Matt. And I'm like, no one remembers second or third place. You only remember first place, right? So I wrote down 14. They read the last question. All three of us scream because we all knew the answer.
It was such a softball. It was
such an easy question. No, but it was such a softball. But the funny thing is that I've asked multiple people since then. No one knew the answer. So I think you and I think it's a softball, but...
I think that's so funny. Okay.
So we knew we got our... We wrote our answer down. We knew it was right. Then we look around and we're waiting to see if other people are excited. The girls next to us got it, but they only had 10 points, so we knew we beat them. Then they start awarding everyone points. Ours goes up to 28. We're looking around, and then they announce us as the winners.
It was pretty amazing.
The wave of emotion that took over me, I didn't even know I could... It was one of those moments where I couldn't even control my emotions.
I was laughing so hard.
I was laughing so hard I was crying. No, I was literally... A woman later told me that I was crying, and I was like, no, you don't understand. I was laughing so hard I was crying. I was, like, crying.
It just felt very unbelievable.
No, it was so shocking that... I had never even imagined this moment that, so I didn't know it was going to feel this good.
Yeah.
And so they like took us up to the front. We had to take our picture under the banner. I could barely get my shit together to take a picture. They rushed us to the front and we got to hold our trophy that's getting engraved. And like, it was, I still like get really happy just about that moment.
I liked that it was like me, you and your mom.
No.
Like that was so fun.
But seriously,
I also feel like your mom had a really good time.
Yeah, she did.
She was proud.
And so next year, I already feel the pressure about next year, like defending our title next year. We don't know what the theme is going to be. We are going to be wearing matching sweat outfits.
Obviously.
Like it's already gone to our head. We're already divas about it.
Bedazzled.
Hell of a dazzle.
We got interviewed for the paper. We're going to be in the Auburn paper. We'll be sure to post that on our Instagram when that happens.
I'm pretty sure they just asked our names. Maybe they asked us how we felt.
Wait, did they really?
Yeah. Oh, they interviewed us.
Yes.
You don't remember? Then they asked, and Fran said we studied. And I'm like, damn, you shouldn't have said we studied. Oh, we should have just been like, we're naturally this brilliant.
See, I think that's bullshit. Like, it speaks to my work ethic and how seriously I take this.
No, that's true. That's true.
I don't need to be naturally smart. Sure.
I think probably what I have done wrong in the past is that I never studied before.
I came along and I was like,
yeah,
pick it up, girl.
Yeah, but I just do want to take credit for betting all of our points.
You did a really good job with that. I just can't believe that last question. It was.
Oh, yeah. Let's tell them what the question was.
Yeah.
So it basically was, who wrote the omnivore's dilemma? So.
A lot of people. We're not going to tell you. Right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Matt's team was in second place. They had 20 points. We had 28. Oh, my God. Like. So. And then afterward, this is the best thing. We went to Burgers and Cream.
Oh, so
to
good.
To get a milkshake and.
Shout out to Burgers and Cream.
So
man.
Good, right?
So good.
You want a good burger and a good ice cream situation.
Yes. And they also have very good french fries.
Yeah, those waffle fries.
And a woman came up to me and said, didn't you just win the trivia bee? And I felt like a celebrity.
You were an Auburn celebrity.
I was an Auburn celebrity. Yeah. And I feel like we should go back to Auburn next weekend and make like a parade around Auburn for everyone.
I like this.
Yeah.
We make Brian get the red convertible.
Wave to everyone down the streets of downtown Auburn.
I mean, I'm 100% on board.
So that was obviously, like, that literally was my peak so far of 2019. Like, it was, I know this sounds so weird, but I haven't had emotion like that I can't control in so long. So.
All right.
That's it.
Good job. Me? I can do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my rose and my thorn. Let me start with my thorn. I've had a lot of thorns lately.
Really? Why? Oh my God.
Wait, but they're like
okay. Do we thorns. Need to review them?
What are they?
Our friend got married, and I got.
Oh, I thought you meant like this past week.
No, just in the past few weeks, I've had lots of thorns. Like every week, I've had like a very good thorn. Erica and my friends ditched me at a bar.
Yeah,
I mean those are really good thorns.
Score down the road. Mm-hmm. But...
Settle what score? I ditch you. I invite you somewhere, and then you don't show up, or I don't show up. That's the one.
It was just too little, too late.
Too little, too late. I talked to you 10 minutes before on the phone. Unbelievable.
My phone was on silent.
Unbelievable. Anyways, so I've had a lot of thorns. This is actually really sad. This is something I found out today. I don't even know how appropriate it is to share this or not.
Oh, God. What is it?
this really nice guy. I don't know if you ever met him, Erica. He worked with me in Natomas. Oh, he was a teacher, a little older than me.
The special ed teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, I know someone who knows his wife.
Yeah, yeah. She teaches yoga here.
Yeah.
So he taught special ed. He wasn't a special ed teacher. I think he was a director.
Uh-huh, he was a director.
In Grass Valley, right?
Uh-huh.
Anyways, a gentleman that I used to work with, I worked in Natomas as a school psychologist. He was a special ed teacher. Very nice man. We got along very well, like would hang out socially, but not in many years. He moved up to Grass Valley. He was always like very outdoorsy. Anyways, he passed away in a kayaking accident. He had two kids.
Oh when God. I hear about people our age dying who have young kids, it seriously, like, is gut-wrenching.
Not to be, like, my other thorns were funny. I was, like, the butt of all of my other thorn jokes. Like, this is, like, a legitimate, like, this is just awful.
I
just
can't,
awful.
I mean, you can't help but, like, project it onto your own life. And I'm like, oh my God, if Matt died, I don't even think I could, like, get up in the morning. I don't even know what
it's
these
just,
people
do. And it's a freak accident. Like, he was a very healthy man, like... I don't know, led like a very outdoorsy, energetic, giving lifestyle and just, it was a freak accident.
Yeah, life is super fragile.
It really is. So that's my thorn. Not to treat it so lightly. It was just something I found out today and it's been on my mind a lot today just because, for multiple reasons, but other than that, he was a wonderful human being and it's just awful that he has two kids and he's not here anymore. So that was my thorn. They also have a GoFundMe up if you guys want to donate to it. I can link in the episode notes how to donate to it. They had a GoFundMe that was, I think the cap was like 50,000. It's already at 85. So yeah. I donated today.
For his services or to...
Just for his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can link in those episode notes if you want to check it out and donate. I'm pretty sure they'll be collecting donations for a while. And then my rose, well, I've had a lot of roses. I mean,
hello, that being trivia, on the winning trivia team.
I know, that's like the biggest. I didn't want to like redo it, but honestly, it was just, it was really good.
And it was Fran's first time there too.
But I think that just speaks to me showing up and just fucking crushing it, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Just
take
being
no
like, fuck all you geriatric motherfuckers. I own this place, yep. This fucking... Pentecostal, that's wrong. Presbyterian church.
No, speaking to that, they threw a little shade, like, during the trivia, it was, like, during the break, so between round one and round two, and they were like, yeah, we're the last generation that reads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then the last question's
about
an author.
About an author.
Welcome. It was so good.
It was just really good.
That's true.
I would say that was likely my high as well. I think my other high is probably that milkshake from Burgers and Cream. That thing was real good. It was just a good night all around, you know?
It was super fun.
Matt drove us, so I didn't have to drive. I got to have a couple of beers. I mean, it was just a very good night. And just when you...
Well, we're doing it again next year, so...
Or next weekend.
You know what, actually? You know what the actual rose was? In the bathroom, right after we won, I went to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, another team that had, like, team shirts made. And these were, like... youngish people, people that were not geriatric in age, not like 75 years old.
Yeah, they were our age.
They were a little older than
us. No, let's not.
They were a little older. But anyways, they came up to me in the bathroom and they were like, the woman was like, do you guys do trivia like around town? Like, where do you guys practice? Like, we're like a legit team. And she invited us to trivia like at
Yeah, that was
place.
Sweet of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on the trivia
but then,
circuit.
Trivia circuit, exactly.
Placer County, Sacramento.
So maybe my actual rose of the trivia of the week, but also of this experience, was that like people thought we were legit, like a legit trivia team. So that's I think high praise, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so to wrap up my rose and thorn of the week, I would say my rose was weather-based. It was a nice 2 days, right? Saturday and Sunday, just like really good weather.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I mean, I'm
and then it rained Monday.
That's right. I'm on the, this year I have to go to like 6-7 weddings, so every weekend I have a bridal shower or a baby birthday or whatever, although I'm looking forward to Reed's. Mm-hmm. That's like the only one.
You don't have to go to Reed's.
No, okay. I really want to. But so anyways, like, it was just a nice day, even though I had to do a bridal shower just to enjoy the sunshine and be outside and drink some hella good margaritas.
Yeah, seriously.
Before I went to trivia. And so my mini rose was just watching you guys kick ass. That was so fun.
When we won, could you hear, like, I stomped the floor.
Oh, I was you did? Jumping yeah. up and down, like, acting like I was on the team. Everyone was like, who is this fucking loser?
No, they were thinking, who is this slut?
Well, also, yeah, because I wasn't wearing
star
a bra.
Star fucker.
I wasn't yeah. wearing a bra. No, I think they thought that I was feeding you guys in star fucker.
Yeah, we had, like, earpieces and you're, like,
yes,
Googling.
I swear, because I'd be, like, texting but to, like, other people, and they would just be, like, staring me down. I'm like, you guys.
They were like 85. They didn't understand what your phone was doing.
They're like, this technology stuff.
Hey, we're going to come off as hella ageist in this.
Well, they
podcast.
Are too, though.
We were very, we were definitely discriminated against on Saturday yeah. night. We were the youngest. Like, there were like three young teams. Our team, Matt's team, and then the girls' team. And that's it.
True.
Yeah. So we just felt, we felt that energy. So we just gave it back. And then my
Erica tits out, gave it back.
Mm-hmm. I saw it. Yeah. Sorry guys.
I'm fine with it. I don't care.
I don't care.
I was thinking about Diane though. I'm like, whoops.
She doesn't care.
No, Diane would be the last person to judge anyone.
Yeah. It's a little late in the game to judge me for not wearing a bra.
My bra was showing. Okay. So we made quite the pair.
And then my thorn, I guess, like, I don't know. I mentioned earlier that I have my place in San Diego and I'm really thinking about selling it and I'm just like making hard decisions right now. So they're good adult decisions, but it's not like fun. So just adulting.
You're thinking about selling?
Yes, because housing prices up here, if you don't notice, are really high and it's just not going down and I'm just getting smoked on both ends up here and then down there. Like I'm spending a lot of money on the condo. And I just, I'm not seeing any reward.
You might as well invest that in yourself yeah. here. Mm-hmm, I agree.
So, anyways.
Yeah, fuck that.
Okay. Those were good ones, you guys.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So our next segment is going to be where we give you guys advice. Which is, I mean.
Because we think we're right a lot. So maybe you want to hear.
I'm going to say I am right often.
Also.
I will never say that I'm right often, but I think I might give you like a nugget that you can like take away with you maybe.
I guess my angle is like, I like giving you advice that is 50-50. So like it may go well, may go terribly, but it's in your own ability. So it's like, sorry,
I like it.
Your
perfect.
Own adventure. Okay, so we have...
I thought Erica was going to say she likes to give advice where she plays the devil's advocate because she does like to do that.
You love to do that with Fran, especially.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so here is our caller.
I really do.
I know.
Hello, I have a question regarding family. I have an older sibling who has had a lot of trouble in his life with addiction problems and legal issues, and my parents still help support him financially. And I don't get any support from them. Not that I need it, but even if I were to need it, I feel like they wouldn't support me. And it's an issue that I find myself resentful about. And so I was just wondering what your guys' thoughts were on it and how you think I should approach my feelings towards the situation moving forward.
Okay, I think that's a really good question.
I agree.
Because we also come from, like, a lot of different backgrounds in terms of how long we've mooched off our parents and stuff. And I'll say I was the biggest mooch. I'm proud of it. Because, not proud, I'm not embarrassed of it. Like, your parents are there to support you.
I mean, I mooched off of Diane Fishburne.
So true. That's so true.
Sorry, Diane.
And so, I mean, I didn't have any, you know, legal or the problems that your older brother seems to be having. But I think, like, you know, in when we're growing up, like, our parents are our financial safety net. And if you just have to feel grateful that you have parents that if something terrible happened to you, they would bail you out. And I think that kind of gives you a nice sense of security that a lot of people don't have. So I feel grateful that I had that.
Yeah, it sounds like this individual doesn't have that, though, right? Like, he's saying that even though his family obviously has the means and they're helping out his brother, they wouldn't do the same for him.
Well, he says that, but I don't think that's true, because if his parents are helping out the brother, it kind of speaks that,
I don't know,
if this other person was really in trouble, that they would probably help him.
I'm going to go by with what he said, which is that his feeling is that that wouldn't. You can't trust the people calling in. Yes.
No, because a lot of people, honestly, have very false assumptions and things about their lives that aren't true. So you can't, when someone just says that, you can't necessarily take it at face value.
Hey, you know, like 80s TV shows where they would say time out and everything would freeze?
Yeah.
I want to like call time out on Claire right now and like have the world freeze and be like, obviously you guys are getting a sense of how right Claire thinks she is all of the time. She's already calling you out and she doesn't even know your life.
Yeah, funny, give us your feedback.
No, you guys are, you two, you are not people who just believe everybody at face value. So you can't.
But all we have to go on is what this person is saying. So I'm saying he's saying his reality is that his parents wouldn't do the same for him.
That's what he thinks.
Well, and it's possible that they just don't have endless amount of money. And so, you know, there's an escalation factor here. And the brother has these legal issues where, like, his life could probably come to a halt if they don't help him with these legal issues. And so there's just a sense of urgency. So maybe they do want to help this caller, but they just can't do both right now.
Well, it's, he so says stable. He doesn't even need help.
He doesn't, but like
if he needed it,
something, you know.
Yeah, look, yeah, no one's resources are unlimited. But I think, you know, the caller asked us how he should,
except for Lori Loughlin's.
That's true.
I know.
Oh man.
Asked how he should deal with the resentment toward his brother, and I think this sounds so fucking corny, but it's really something I've developed in the past couple years. If you come from a place of gratitude, it really solves a lot of your problems. So be grateful that you don't need your parents' help, and be grateful that while your brother is going through really hard times, your parents can help him.
I think it's also hard when you have a sibling that's an addict. I think, yeah, you can say all those things, but it's not like his brother has cancer. His brother's an addict. And I think that choice is made. I understand that. I understand that they're both diseases. I get that. But I think when you're in it, when you're a family member of an addict, it doesn't feel the same.
No, there's no sense of justice. And I mean, speaking to what his question was, though, how he should approach his feelings, I mean, my opinion on it is like, it sounds like you've had the story arc of your family for the long haul. And so my recommendation, because I relate to this a little bit, is that you would have to take it situationally, not like from the whole piece.
Sure.
Of the
puzzle. Moment by moment.
Yeah, because it's not going to, especially if he's like addicted to drugs, legal issues, like that is going to be a long road. So,
well, do you guys think that he should maybe talk to his parents about it? Like, what if he even said, like, hey, this situation is making me feel resentful. I feel like you wouldn't help me if I needed it. And they could even say, oh my God, of course we would help you if you needed it. And that could help solve some of his resentment.
Let's be real. That's the adult thing to do.
Right? Talk to your parents. Yeah. Right? I mean, it doesn't seem like his brother's in any situation to be.
Well, what good does holding anything in do?
True, nothing. But I think if he does choose that route, which I think is a good to bring up at some point, then you need to be ready for disappointment a little bit.
Oh, that's a good piece of advice.
That's true.
Like, manage expectations. Prepare. Yeah. On either side.
Even though it sounds like he is managing expectations. He seems to believe that his parents wouldn't help him. So he already knows that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's coming in with that
like
outlook.
Almost defeated by it. Like, so maybe we should figure out something to help him have a little glimmer of hope.
Right.
Well, I mean, well, that would be like Claire's,
maybe his
like
parents saying to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Communication.
Communication is, I mean, I guess what extra harm would come from having the conversation? You already feel like they're not going to help you. You already feel like you know that. Yeah. So then what are they going to do? Confirm that for you? Okay. Yeah. Well, then what's the difference? What's the upside? Maybe they would not. Maybe you'd get a different conversation.
Maybe your perspective would be changed.
Totally.
Yeah. And maybe, I mean, he didn't mention that he is involved in helping his brother recover. And maybe there's some issues there where they're really trying and they don't see him involved. And so maybe if he helped them and asked if they needed help, then there would be a way to kind of open up that dialogue.
And I also think, like, it's not like your parents want your brother to be having all these legal and financial right. problems that they want to be helping with. Like, they're probably getting zero joy out of this. Like,
yeah.
you guys are all in a shitty situation, so...
Yeah, but it's, like, a responsibility for them versus for him. It's, like, he can, you know, kind of deal with it when he wants to and then not.
Right.
Like, for them, it's, like, a full-time job.
Yeah, but it's also hard not to be resentful of a sibling that's fucking up, totally. Too. That's a tough... You know this.
Oh, I don't know. I've never been in that situation because my sister's perfect.
I'm the fuck up.
I mean, I guess both of my sisters are very, very responsible, but we've all been assholes. So I get... I
But on the spectrum of things, you guys have all, like, stayed within the...
Sure.
Yeah. And then my brother and I have just traded off on being the fuck-ups.
to give your mom a break.
I mean, yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Well, hopefully we answered your question. And if we didn't...
Sorry.
Maybe we went off on some tangent.
You guys, we do need more people calling in if you, like, the way we answered that question or if you hated it. Call us, send us a voice note at anythingbutvanillapodcast@gmail.com or send us a message on our Instagram, anythingbutvanilla.
For those, you know, who aren't familiar with the Insta,
And so our last segment of the week, this week it's going to be very brief. It's our hater of the week.
Yeah, we're going to do it every episode. You're going to get some fucking hater.
This is where we bring, like, positivity and light into your life. No, I'm just clearly the opposite. So our hater of the week is all of our haters who thought this our podcast wasn't going to happen.
Well, yeah.
Our friends.
There were some friends who were super supportive and nice.
Right.
And then other friends who were maybe a little jealous that they are not going
to
be.
That's one way to read it.
Yeah.
That they weren't invited to the podcast.
If three of my friends told me they were starting a podcast and they didn't include me, I'd be pissed.
Like,
I like to hear myself talk. I'd be pissed. I'd be like,
well,
aware. I wouldn't. I would be like, who's got time for that? I mean, like, obviously we're making time for this, but I would just, that would be like my first thought, like, who has that kind of time where they're going to do that?
Well, we're making it.
You got to like the people enough to make the time, obviously, or to be, you know, passionate about the project enough. And maybe if that was like two of my other friends, I'd be like, I just don't like you guys enough.
That's very true. There's no other people. I'd be like, yep, going to see you once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big
right? Like, my question's always like, how do people who don't know each other have a podcast? I'm always so curious.
The glue together.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Just replace them if you wanted to.
I agree. That's it's very interesting.
Yeah, it is a commitment. That's true.
So, haters, this episode's dedicated to you.
Fuck you.
But we keep on trying.
And so that is the wrapping up of our first
episode. Yeah, that's it. We're done, guys.
That was fun.
You know, here's our last little piece before we go. It was fun. We're going to be, we've had our drinks this episode. Tune into the next episode. We're going to start our episodes off by talking about who was the drunkest. Who do you think was the drunkest going into the next episode? We're going to figure that out for you guys here. We're going to do some scientific data taking and then you just slide into our DMs. You send us a little message. You just think it to yourself and then we'll talk about next episode. Who had the most drunk in them? Who has the highest, you know, ABV?
Or who's the snooze fest if it hurts that needs to
step their game
more.
Up.
Yeah.
Truth. I like it both ends.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it, yeah. So.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you guys for
Thanks
tuning
for
in.
Enduring an hour and 13 minutes of us.
Right,
holy bajoli, I know. As I say to Cashew Boo, I say, ay, ay, ay. Okay, guys, we love you. We'll see you later. And tune in next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.